I haven't been saved as long as some of y'all. I've been saved now 42, well, it'll be 43 years this October, Lord willing. And my wife and I will be married 50 years in October. And Brother Enos is a lot older than I am. I was talking to his wife today. I understand y'all going to celebrate your 50th the 21st. Yes, sir. 50 years old, that means you're getting old, brother. I was thinking last night, Brother Brown up here preaching about how to treat your wife and all that. He's only been married 2 weeks, bless God. He needs to wait a little bit. I was in a fellowship meeting here a year or so ago, and it's just a small fellowship meeting. We had two or three boys get up and preach. One of them was 17 years old, and he did a good job. But you know what he preached on? He preached on how to raise your children. And I sat there and I thought, that's interesting. That sounds like something I used to would have done. I thought about this, and honestly, I heard somebody say, our brother out here went to Dr. Seitler School, and I don't know where you folks went. I sure appreciate that music, though.
Yes.
Oh, that was right from heaven as far as I was concerned. And I mean that. Miss Joy is always a blessing. And Brother Charles and Sister Enos, they came by our little old church and honored us by their presence. And I know a lot of nice things have been said about you. And I'm sure they're all more or less true. But these are gracious folks. They're very kind, gracious people. And I appreciate them so much. Just give you a thought, and I know we're going to eat after I hush, so you know I won't be long. I'm a Baptist. But Isaiah chapter 45, if you'll turn there with me, just a thought that I've been dealing with, and I know some of you fellows know a lot more about this than I do, but I'll just give you a few thoughts and we'll go. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. Now, Father, help us this morning. We're here by divine appointment. We don't believe there's any mistakes in your economy. Thank you for this good church. Thank you for these dear men of God and their wives and all that they're accomplishing for you. Lord, I'm excited about the fact that you're still calling people to serve you. You're still using men. And Lord, as we bow before your presence this morning, we confess readily that we feel that we're the least of all these preachers. And Lord, we need you more than I could ever express. And I pray, sweet Holy Ghost, that you'll help me this morning to help these dear folk, if it be your will. And God will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you this morning. Now, darkness, when I got to thinking about this, the phrase there, I just want to talk to you about the treasures of darkness. I know you've probably heard messages on this. I've never heard one, but I'm sure you have. And I know that there's a lot to it that I don't know, but I'll just give you some thoughts that God gave me. Darkness usually carries with it a connotation, a sense of dread, of danger, of trouble, of sin, if you please. But here God speaks about the treasures of darkness, and I have never contemplated that very much. And as I came to this, I just prayed, and God gave me a few thoughts. Number one, I want to say that when you're seeking the light, and we talk about the treasure of darkness, when you seek the light, don't be surprised if you come into greater darkness. Turn back with me in the book of Job real quickly. We'll pick up a verse there and listen to what Job had to say about it in Job chapter 30 and verse 26. Job said, when I looked for good, then evil came upon me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. Then came darkness. Now we know that Jesus is the light in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was light, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we're admonished to seek him in Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. We're to seek him for salvation, but we're also to seek him for himself. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And in this business of the treasure of darkness, and Job said, when I sought for the light, more darkness came. There's a thought in my mind that sometimes you and I get away from God and we enter into a darkened area of our life. It doesn't mean you're lost. It doesn't mean that you're the worst sinner in town. It just simply means that you've got away from God a little bit. And you're looking for the Lord, and you expect God to break on the scene at any moment, and all of a sudden, it gets darker. Now you say, preacher, why would that happen? I think that may be that God's proven our faith. God may be whetting our appetite. God may be ready to slack our thirst, but we're not quite ready. We have a cheap Christianity these days. We have a Christianity that says, everything, I can do it, and I don't need God for it anymore. Well, that's not true. You may can do it at your place, but I can't do it at mine. I need God. And sometimes God will allow us to go into these darkened areas because there's treasures there that God wants to give us. But we want everything right now. We're a me-first generation. We're an instant gratification society. And we want it right now. And if we don't get it right now, we get aggravated. Somebody said, I want patience and I want it right now. Well, you and I may be like that. We want it right now. God doesn't operate that way. So sometimes when you get into darkness, don't get discouraged because the Lord doesn't show up immediately when you want him to. Because God's doing something in your life and maybe whetting your appetite for him, and you and I need that. Number two, in the darkness, we learn to trust the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 15, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. We're to walk by faith. We're not to walk by sight. We're to rest on his promise. And in the darkness, maybe you misunderstand what I'm about to say, and I certainly don't mean to discourage you, but darkness will come in your life sometime or other. You can have all the self-esteem that you need. And you can focus on positive things. But if you're a child of God, some dark's going to come to your life. You can bank on it. You can rest on it. Say, preacher, never happened to me. Well, just hold on. It's on its way. You're not going to get by without it. God's going to let that happen. God's going to let that happen because he has a plan in mind. We're walking by faith. Has God ever failed us? Well, of course not. Will he ever fail us? Of course not. So when we're in the darkness, God may be proving our faith to see what we're made out of, to see if we're going to honor him. Wouldn't you like to walk in the sunshine all the time? But if it never came up from clouds and rain, the earth would be a bad place. Same way in our Christian life, folks. If we walked in the sunshine all the time, yeah, there's a couple of things I won't say here, and I don't want to make you mad, but I'm not perfect. Now, I wish I were, but the Lord Jesus, the only one I ever met, was perfect. Amen. And occasionally, I find in my life that I actually do have problems. My people love me about 85% of the time. That's a conservative guess, or a liberal guess, either way you want to look at it. But, beloved, I'm a preacher, and I stand on the King James Bible. Amen. And in any given service where I preach, I can make somebody mad. And I usually do. You say, preacher, you set out to make folk mad? No, I set out to make folk happy. I set out to make folk at peace with God. I look in the mirror in the morning, Brother Ennis, and I see the best guy I've ever known in my life. He bends over backwards to help folk. He's kind-hearted. He's gracious. But that's not what they see, evidently, sometimes. Now, folks, there are troubles that come in our life. But when they come, the Lord is orchestrating our life. And as our brother said, when we get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do, we'll find out that there's plenty of light. Do you know, in the darkness, And this is something I thought about. In the darkness, light becomes more precious. Psalm 112, verse 4. Upon the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. In the darkness of sorrow. I've never been where Brother Brown went. My wife's still living. I've never lost my wife. I've never been through that valley of sorrow. But in the valley of sorrow, the light's precious, isn't it? In the darkness of emotional and mental stress, the light becomes very precious. I've heard folks say, well, Christians never do this. Christians never do that. Well, I don't know. My limited experience with Christians is that they're just folks saved by the grace of God, but still have the same flesh that they had before they got saved. God doesn't miraculously do anything about that. The flesh has problems. I've met people, as our brother said earlier, I've met people who are ready to commit suicide. Now, you say, preacher, and you can debate this, okay? I'm just going to say it. You can take home and do what you want with it, or you can just break out in the debate right here on the floor. I believe Christians can commit suicide. Thank you. You're welcome. That was free. Didn't cost you a thing. When you go to, listen to me, when you go to a doctor and you get under a doctor's care and he diagnoses you as being depressed and he puts you on junk like Prozac and all these other antidepressants, even a preacher can pull a gun out and blow his brains out. People, folks, we have trouble. We have dark. In this time of emotional stress and emotional strain and mental distress, you come into this place of darkness and you get to the point and you think, oh my God, what in the world? What can I do? Would it be better for me just to get out of the way? Would it be better for me just to leave? When you're in that darkness and the light shows up, the Lord Jesus, he becomes much more precious to us than before. In the darkness of satanic oppression, the light is precious. Sometimes we're so busy and so important that the light is thought to be not needed. But oh my, when the light arises in the darkness, how precious is he? When you go to the doctor, I've never been there yet. I suspect I'll be there real soon. But when you go to the doctor and he comes in and says, well, I got good news and bad news. And you say, well, give me the good news first. He says, well, you're going to live. What's the bad news? You got cancer. The light becomes precious. When you go into the medical profession and you deal with people and you see people hurting and suffering, the Lord Jesus becomes more precious to them in that dark hour, I assure you. And may I say this real quickly? In the darkness, we learn to be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. To be still before God is to be awed at his presence. Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord. He was busy for the Lord in chapters 1 through 5. But when he got to chapter 6, he saw a vision of the Lord. And when he was in the presence of God, he was awed by his presence. And he shut down and he got still before the Lord to find out what God wanted out of his life. I don't know, folks. Maybe it's just me, but it seems to me that we are so busy serving the Lord sometimes that we don't have time to be still before him. And then in the darkness, we learn not only to be still, but we learn to be quiet before God. And we listen. The Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth its handiwork. Day in the day utter speech, and night in the night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Again in Romans 1:20, it talks about the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Is it true that we cannot hear God because of all the voices of the world have our ears? Has the voices of the world crowded in so desperately deep into our ears and into our heart that we can't hear God anymore? We hear this, we hear that. We run and we work and we serve and we're so busy doing for God that we won't get still. God may take us into the darkness to reveal Himself to us. And in the stillness of darkness, and I'm learning this, but we learn humility. Nothing like being in the darkness can teach us who we are and who we are not. There's nothing like it. The Bible says God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Say, if you're in a little bit of darkness today, may I ask you a question? And I'm not trying to be funny or smart, but how's your humility going along? Preacher, I feel I'm real humble. I heard a fellow pray this one time, and you probably have too. I actually heard this guy pray this. He said, "Lord, I'm proud to be humble." You know, you must have heard it too, huh? "I'm proud to be humble." I've thought a lot about being humble. And you know what I've come up to the conclusion of, Brother Enos? I don't know much about it. I really don't. I don't know much about being humble. God saved me. I was ex-bosun mate, sailor out of the Navy. 42 years ago, He came to me and sought me out and saved me. I wondered why, but He did. And I was amazed that God loved me. I never knew that He loved me. But He did love me, and He saved my never-dying soul and called me into the ministry. And when I was 35 years old, I well remember this. We served in Brazil for several years as missionaries with Brother Melvin and the family there. And when I was 35 years old, when I was 40 years old, when I was 45 years old, I knew all the answers. Now I don't even know the questions. I'm serious. I mean, I asked my wife, I said, "Who is that guy?" She said, "Give me a minute." I thought about what you... You know, we do good to get from here to yonder. We're just pilgrims, strangers, and wandering around. And humility? What is that? All I know about that is that we're supposed to serve folk. We're supposed to love one another. You know, one of my biggest fears, I've never sensed it here. One of my biggest fears of going to preachers' meetings, you know what it is? They're all so arrogant you can't get along with nobody. Am I the only one that sees that? When I was a missionary, I used to get treated like a red-headed stepchild. I had a fellow down in Jacksonville, Florida. Never forget it. St. Augustine Road Baptist Church. And if I called a preacher's name, some of you know him, and I'm not just trying to blaspheme him. But I was friends with the pastor, and the pastor introduced me to this brother. And this brother came up, threw his arm around me, patted me, and said, "Hallelujah, praise God, isn't it good to be saved?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Where are you pastor at?" He was evangelist, by the way. I said, "I don't have a missionary." He said, "Oh," and walked off. Fellas, it got to the point where all we do is use one another. The missionaries are looking for a meeting. The pastors are looking to run away. The evangelist needs somewhere to display his ministry. And we're just so caught up in ourselves that we can't fellowship. But can I just tell you something? I'm too old to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. If I don't fall, I'm going to sit down. Well, that's what I intended to do. Now, y'all think it's so funny. I had a young fella. He had a boy up in North Georgia years ago, and we were missionary. We drove up there, and Stephen was about 6 years old, and he said, "Brother Sam." I said, "Yes, son." He said, "Look what I got for Christmas." I said, "What do you..." "I got a bicycle." I said, "Boy, that's a pretty bicycle. Watch me ride it." He took off riding it. And there's two pine trees that grew up like this, and he run right in the middle of them. Bang! He jumped off, said, "That's right where I wanted to park it." So this is just what I intended to do. Look, I reckon what I'm trying to say is, in the darkness, the Lord kind of taught me this and tried to help me with it, that Brother Leatherwood is just like me. He's a man. Brother Enos puts his pants on probably one leg at a time, just like I do. He probably goes to his wife and says, honey, does this look all right? And you know, he probably has to pray for help just like I do. He has to trust the same Lord that I have to trust. We're all like that. Every one of us are like that, folks. And I think in the darkness, the Lord will stop you just long enough to say, hey, you're not such big stuff after all. I saved you by my grace. Anything that good comes out of you is me. He's all in all. And I just mean this from my heart, folks. And I'm just talking, but you know what I long for? I long for him. But you know what else I long for? I long for folk just to be folk.
Yes, sir.
Not throwing down your ministry. I'm not talking about that. Well, why can't we just love one another? Okay, so we're all independent. Fundamental. King James Bible. Believing. And I'll fight you over that just quick. You'll fight me over it. Well, why can't we love one another? What is this big I and little you business? Where did that come from? Come on, folks. Look, I pull my shoes off after tonight, and now my feet will stink just like yours. There'll be a ring around my collar, just like every one of you fellas. I know some of y'all wear dark shirts, so it won't show up so bad, but it's still there. So I don't know much about humility, but I know that the Lord will put us in darkness to get some of the pride out of us, teach us who we are and what we are. I know something else about that. I learned this, that in the darkness, there are treasures. There are treasures in the darkness, and God wants to open up the treasure chest and bless us so richly, even when we're not. I've found this out. This isn't anything big, but I found out, for me at least, brother, that when God puts me in a darkened place, he does his best work in my life.
Amen.
Believe it or not, I've actually been around the block a time or two, and I've actually preached in some pretty good churches once in a while. Of course, then folk found out who I was and they quit having me. But nevertheless, I never got a whole lot when I was on top of the hill. I didn't seem to grow much. I was having a big time, and I was enjoying the fire out of it. And I do know what a cotton picking minute is, brother. I was preaching one day, and I said, when I was a boy, we took a brick bat and went out and did, and this boy from South, man of South Dakota, my church, he came out, pastor, what in the world's a brick bat? But he didn't even know what a croaker sack was. Y'all don't either, do you? Lord have mercy. And none of y'all old enough to ever take, you see your dad, or you took a 200-pound sack of guano in a burlap bag and put it out. That's called a croaker sack down where I come from. Anyway, I better get off that. Y'all won't never get nothing. But you know, when you get down that dark area, God opens up the treasure chest. And if you're like me, you're always in a hurry to get out of that place. Who wants to be down in the darkness? We want to be out in the light, Lord. We want to be used. We want you to do great things for us, because we know who we are, and we know we can preach, and we know we got a touch of God on our life, and people need to be helped. God said, you need to be helped. Just be quiet for a little bit. I've got something I want to give you. Do you know God's going to bless us in spite of ourselves?
Amen.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. We quote Romans 8:28, but Romans 29 says he's conforming us to the image of his Son. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created under good work. God Almighty is desirous and determined, if I may say, to do something in our life, even if it takes putting us in the darkness for a little while, so he can open the treasure chest and give us those treasures. Thank God for that. John 6, and I'm just running through this, but Jesus came walking to the disciples on the water, and he said, just keep on rowing, fellas. The light's coming. Just keep on doing. Thank God if he's called you. Thank God if he's sent you. Thank God if he's using you. Thank God for that. But when you come into these dark times and you get a little discouraged, don't quit. Just keep on putting one foot ahead of the other. Keep on walking. Keep on rowing. Keep on doing what you got to do. By the faith of God, the light will arise and you'll come out of the darkness. He won't leave you there forever. Amen. But while you're there, let him give you something. Let him give you something. I honestly think we have it all backwards. We think, well, if I'm in a dark place, I'm out of the will of God and nothing's happening. That's not so. That is not so. We've got everything so backwards. We criticize the charismatics, the prosperity gospel. We criticize it, but we secretly want it to be true. We want two Cadillacs in the garage, don't we? Well, maybe it's Mercedes-Benz now, I don't know. I mean, don't we want all those trappings that they say that... And when the sun doesn't shine in our life, we feel that we're the outcast of God. We feel that something's wrong and we've sinned, and we may have, and if we have, we can confess it. But most often it's not that. Most often it's that God has taken us there to bless us. How many of you preachers ever had the experience of going to the hospital and visiting somebody that's dying? And before you got out of the car, you prayed, oh God, my brother, my sister, I need to be a blessing to them. Help me to say the right things. And you get in there and you don't say much of nothing. And the people that are dying bless you so good, you can't stand it. You go back out to the car, tears running down your face, and shout the victory because God has blessed you so good through them. They're in the place of darkness, it seems. But there's a light arising in their darkness that you may not see. And friend, when you get in the darkness, and I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, and I have never in my life gathered any sycamore fruit. But I'll tell you this. If you're a Christian, unless you die today, there's probably going to be some dark days in your life. Don't take that as being punishment from heaven. Take it as being a blessing that God's going to open the treasures of darkness up in your life. It'll reveal to you the very thing that he wants for your life.